The hailing frequencies are open because this is GHL Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And we're here to talk more about Asgard.
Yes, exactly what about Asgard, Ashley?
Which Asgardians will show up in the future of the MCU?
Oh, no, which Asgardians should. We don't know. We're not Kevin Feigemus.
That's right. Yeah.
Eternal Celestial that controls the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're not Kevin Feigemus.
I have to say, I'm pulling this list from fandom.com.
Of Asgardians. From Marvel Comics.
There's over 1,000 entries on it.
Impossible.
The first person on this list is not Asgardian.
Who is it?
Achilles.
Weird.
And there are, I kid you not, 32 Amoras on this list because they list them for every Earth they've ever showed up on.
Oh, boy.
This is a bad list, but it is the most comprehensive one I could find.
We're not going to go through all 1,000 characters.
No, of course we're not.
Dear God.
I think what we should do is we should start off with ones that maybe come to mind that we know and love from Norse mythology.
Sure.
And expand out from there.
All right. Well, since you're the only one who can see the list right now, I'm putting a lot on you.
What do you think about if one of the 45 Balders show up? Jason doesn't care for Baldur.
Well, why don't you explain for anybody that's listening who Baldur is in case they don't know?
Baldur is one of the warriors of Asgard. I believe he's one of Odin's children.
He is one of Odin's children.
He gets killed by Loki with a mistletoe dart because his mother protected him from everything except mistletoe.
He's basically Hamlet, sort of, in a way.
He's the sulky brother who's not actually evil, yes. Mm,
but he's like the most pure.
He's the goodest of all.
He's a lame character. He deserves to be dead. I don't want to ever show up in the MCU.
Billy the Kid, bracket goat, end bracket, is an MCU, is a Asgardian, according to this list.
Now, Ashley, I could be wrong, but I believe that Billy the Kid you're talking about is Billy from the J. Michael Straczynski run, who becomes an Asgardian.
He's from Oklahoma.
I believe that's who they're talking about. I could be wrong.
It just says goat. I'm opening it. It's a picture of a goat.
I don't know. This is very exciting podcast.
One of the goats that MODOK commandeered while looking for his son, MODOK. Okay. That's wild. Brunhilde. I would like to see Brunhilde.
What are we doing right now? Are we going down this list? What is even happening?
I am going down the list.
I have no idea what's happening.
It's alphabetical. So apparently Carol Danvers is an Asgardian. I'm going to pull a new list.
Ashley, I don't know what list you're pulling from. I'm pulling from the
fandom.com's list of Asgardians.
Fandom, you failed. You failed, fandom.
I know we love nothing more than dragging the list that we reference.
We have failed this podcast. Okay,
here's a good list. Here are the most common ones, and I'm going to break down the ones we haven't actually seen in the movies. Baldur's the first one. Boar.
We've seen Boar.
Yes, but would you like to see Boar used properly or get a storyline, perhaps?
Well, I will tell you this. So what they're referring to is Boar is Odin's father.
Yeah.
And in the comic books, in the J. Michael Straczynski run, they did this thing where he wasn't dead. He was like frozen in Jotunheim, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, he's frozen in the ground, yeah.
Yeah, and then something Thor did woke him up. And so Boar challenged Thor for the throne and basically said, because Thor was king of Asgard at the time. And Boar was basically like, I can do it better. And Thor basically entered into a trial by combat, fight to the death with him, and he had to kill his own grandfather. That I would not be opposed to. That's a bad storyline.
It could be maybe as close as you could get to a King Conan type story.
Yeah.
For Thor.
And then you could also, because think about it, if Odin is played by Anthony Hopkins, you could also stunt cast Boar and make him somebody of note.
Cool, older actor.
Well, it's funny if...
Do you go full Arnie with it?
Well, if Love and Thunder hadn't made Russell Crowe Zeus, I'd be like, Russell Crowe would be an excellent choice for Boar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else? Who would be like a sort of English or Australian? John Noble?
Oh my God, John Noble.
But you probably want somebody that can be physical.
Somebody who, I'm not saying that John Noble isn't strong, but he's not physically imposing.
You'd want somebody that could actually fight Thor.
Yeah.
So you wanted like, you know who would be an interesting choice?
No.
But he's already appeared in the Thor movies. It would be Sam Neill.
Sam Neill would be an interesting choice. Who is the, he's an.
I got it. I got it. Here's who it is, because this is somebody who is, he's a little bit older, but I do think he could do the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
Hugo Weaving.
Great. I mean, Hugo Weaving for all things, also already in the MCU.
Is he?
Red Skull.
Oh, that's right.
So OG,
oh, he won't come back. Damn it.
Who is Dolph Lundgren? That's the name I was trying to pull.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren would not be a bad choice.
Yeah, and he's a pretty good actor. And he, we saw him be physical in Arrow.
Let's go Dolph Lundgren. That's a good choice.
And from the appropriate part of the world.
Yep. All right, Dolph Lundgren, let's go for it. He's Boar. All right, yeah. I would be fine with Boar show back up.
I want to put a little note here about Heimdall really quick.
Okay.
I would like to see Heimdall show back up in the MCU. Not waste that casting choice. This is a spoiler for Thor: Love and Thunder. So if you haven't seen it, skip forward about a minute.
Hold on. Okay, stop listening now.
So we see his son in Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yes, Axel.
Ugh. Not a canon character. Nope. Heimdall does have two canon sons. One is Thrall, who is only described as ugly. And the other one's name is Carl. And I just think it's funny that his son's name is Carl. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, it's safe to come back, everybody.
Okay, I want to ask about this Asgardian character because I know you're particularly passionate about whether or not she should be considered an Asgardian, Angela.
Oh, God. You mean the character from Spawn?
Yeah.
That they shoved into the Marvel comic universe once Neil Gaiman
won that lawsuit.
Won his lawsuit.
Yep.
And, man, they did that. There was that storyline. It was Age of Ultron.
Yep.
And at the end of Age of Ultron, they reset the timeline. And suddenly, Angela was in the MCU. And you could hear Joe Quesada and all the Marvel writers being like, isn't this amazing? And the entire comic book reading audience was like, no. And she's kind of only showed up in like one or two stories. Yeah, she's a secret sister of Thor. No, she'd never show up. Stupidest character ever. Only worked in Spawn.
Do you know who Lorelai is?
I do not.
Lorelai is the daughter of Hela. She's kind of like Loki's little girlfriend.
Oh, cool.
No. I would like to see her show up. She's fun. How about Sylvie? Everyone's favorite addition to the recent canon.
Oh, you mean the Loki variant?
Yeah.
You're talking about Sylvie to show up? I mean, well, we're definitely going to see her in Loki season 2.
But do you think we'll get her in a movie?
We might get her in Thunderbolts or whatever they're doing there.
Uh-huh.
You know, wouldn't surprise me. I don't think we'll see her anywhere else. So
here's a character that I don't know what they do. Apparently they showed up in Thor: The Dark World. Tyr? T-Y-R?
Who's that?
A fictional character, an Asgardian god appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics.
We just watched Thor: The Dark World.
One of Odin's biological sons, played by Clive Russell in the MCU's old person.
Where did Tyr show up in Thor: The Dark World?
I have no idea.
Do you think maybe he's standing in the funeral scene for Frigga?
It's maybe, but like literally, like I look at the picture of the guy who played him. He's an old man.
Okay.
Tyr is the Asgardian god of war. He was renowned throughout Asgard for being the only god brave enough to fight Fenris. Oh, would you like to see Fenris, the wolf god?
I know Fenris, the wolf god.
Yeah, would you like to see him in the MCU?
Well, they sort of tried to do a little bit of that in Ragnarok. Remember there were the big wolves that the Hulk fought?
Oh,
there
were
three big wolves the Hulk fought.
Yeah. But like, would you like to see maybe, I don't know.
I'm good. Nah.
So in terms of major characters in Marvel Comics, that's pretty much it of the ones we haven't seen. All of these lists are like the Warriors 3, Baldur the Brave, Boar, Valkyrie.
We're going to turn the conversation.
Sif.
We're going to turn the conversation right here.
Oh, Amora, I guess. Do you want to see Amora?
The Enchantress?
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised we haven't seen her yet.
I would not call her Enchantress,
but
simply
Sylvie
from a branding point of view.
Kind of the Enchantress, almost.
She is very that type. And, and obviously Enchantress and Loki do have some entanglements.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can change the conversation now.
I'm going to change the conversation right now because I want to point out to our listeners and to our listeners of the main show and now of this that you might notice that we've had a problem kind of talking about the ancillary Asgardian characters. And because I have a theory on that, and you may love them, everybody, and I'm happy you do, because I think they have always been lame as fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Ashley, what do you think about these ancillary Asgardian characters? To be honest with you, like from the very beginning, the only Asgardian character I really have ever cared about is Thor.
Well, I don't...
In the Marvel Comics universe.
In the Marvel Comics universe, yeah.
Because you just went down this giant list and we were kind of like, nah.
Okay, well, here's the real thing about the Marvel Asgardian characters.
Yes, and I'm specifically, because I think the Norse mythology characters are interesting.
Yes.
But the Marvel...
You do hate Baldur, though, in the mythology as Baldur. Well.
I hate Baldur. I hate the Warriors 3. I think they're so stupid. Yeah. I was happy when they died in Thor Ragnarok.
I was not. I mean, I was happy that one of them died, but the other three I would have kept around.
Yeah. And then we saw Sif pop up in Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah, I thought she was dead.
You know?
I fully thought she was dead.
I did too. And I completely forgot that she was running around, but I was not happy to see her because she's lame.
So here's the thing about Marvel's Asgardian characters. I don't care about any of them.
Yeah, right?
I don't care about any of them that aren't Loki, and that's mostly because I like Tom Hiddleston's performance in the first movie.
It's like Loki and Thor, and that's it.
I have read a handful of really good books set in that universe with those characters. They're mostly written by Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have never read Jason Aaron's Thor run, beginning with Gore the God Butcher and going all the way through the Mighty Thor run, it's just good comics. And it makes really good use of those characters. The All-Mother's really cool in it. But a lot of my favorite characters from Norse mythology have already showed up in the MCU or in the comics, and they're very neutered versions
of who they are. And they've killed them off.
Like Freya/Frigga is my favorite Norse goddess, and she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I like Sif. Like I said previously, she's my preferred Thor love interest, but Jamie Alexander doesn't give me the Sif that I want. She looks great. I'm glad they finally put her in the costume. Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I am theoretically interested in all of this, but in practice, not so much, but you know, we'll see.
I stand by my theory that they are lame as fuck.
I know you hate the Warriors 3.
They are lame as fuck. They're so lame.
And there's good actors, too, that they waste in those parts.
Yeah. There's a reason why the most lauded Thor stories of all time are ones that barely involve them.
Or they're standalone, right? Like, I really love to tout Thor the Mighty Avenger.
You mean that's the Chris Samnee, the all ages one?
Yeah, I think it's so
Warriors
good.
Warriors 3 are not in it at all.
It has almost nothing to do with canon. It's about Thor.
It's just Thor and Jane
being
on
banished
Earth.
To Earth and him and Jane fostering
a
relationship.
It's a great
so
book.
And it's so beautiful. Like that
and
is
it's so out of print by now.
One of my favorite. You get it digitally.
Yeah.
That is one of my all time favorite Thor runs because it has nothing to do with it.
Yep. And it's continuity free. It's
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah. I think it is. I can't believe that it's not reprinted every single time a Thor movie comes out.
Yeah, because it's the easiest Thor book just to hand to somebody.
And it's all ages friendly. You could give it to an actual child.
I think it was written by one of the Atomic Robo guys.
I will go. Google it. Roger Langridge.
Okay, I was wrong. Sorry.
So sorry, sir. You're nice. You write a good book. I can get it from the Anaheim Public Library. There are many libraries that are much closer. New Zealand comics writer, artist, letterer currently living in Britain.
Cool. What are we doing? What are we talking about now? Where are you going on this whole? Like, where are we? This has been the podcast of like just dropping into weird side turns.
Well, so here let's talk about this a little bit. I advocated to do the Valkyrie episode.
Yes, you did. I didn't want to do it
because.
I didn't want to do it.
This happens often where one of us doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one talks us into it. That's part of a partnership. I thought this might be our last opportunity to do it.
We can only hope.
And I think you can maybe tell a little bit from the lesson that it was hard.
Yeah. Well, you did a really good job. I mean, for having not a lot of source material to go on.
And I want to say that I was a little bit bummed by that because the idea of the Valkyrie
is awesome.
And Brunhilde, like, if I have to die, which I'm not convinced I do, I should very much like to be greeted by a screaming woman on a horse with a sword. How cool is that? Wagner was a Nazi.
He was, but that was the fly to the Valkyries.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I meant to play it, and I just, my phone.
You know, we could have gotten away with that, too, because I think it's in the public domain.
My phone and the Bluetooth of this recording.
Don't always get along.
They're not agreeing right now.
Yeah. So I was kind of bummed and I was like flicking through some of her stories and I've read a lot of her modern stories and I don't think Valkyrie's been done
right
in the comics. I do think Thor and Loki and even Odin have some really good outings in the comics.
I hate to say it, but I think the Jane Foster Valkyrie might be the run that does it. That finally, like, solidifies her. And it's sad that it's not Brunhilde.
Exactly. And that's probably because it's the brand power of this is Jane Foster. Yep. We're putting a little bit more post care this movie into it. Yep. Yes, exactly. Yep. Her costume, though, as Valkyrie is really cool. I really
Jane
like
has
it.
A lot of good costumes.
Yeah, she does. She's the best Thor costume. But, like, hot take, clothes look better on women than men.
That's true.
We say this all the time on the main podcast. Most of the designs, when they put them on a woman, you're like, wow, the Thor costume, so good. The Nightwing costume, so good. Look, the Robin costume, so good.
Let's just all say this right now. Whatever your sexual orientation, probably we all like looking at ladies better than men just because.
Are you going to do the Seinfeld quote?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't, but there's a Seinfeld quote where it's like women's bodies are work of art and men's bodies are utilitarian.
Yeah.
And there are some beautiful men out there and some beautiful men bodies out there. But like,
as illustrated in Thor Love and Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Chris Hemsworth has a beautiful male body. But let's just say the ladies look better.
Yeah.
They just do.
But Jane Foster's been lucky. She has a lot of great costumes.
She does. And I think that's the perfect way to end.
Thank you for joining us on this journey into mystery.
What Asgard? Oh, that's a well done. Well done. These two episodes were a journey. I don't know where the hell we went. I'm sorry again about those Doctor Strange bits. They didn't work.
I thought they were really funny. Actually, the person who should have apologized was me because I didn't pick up on what you were throwing down with the PPOs in the first bit. So that was my bad.
I was hoping to play a game that the Asgardian had no idea what the hell Doctor Strange was talking about is where I was hoping the game would go.
Well, look, one of us graduated from the UCB improv program and it was me. So I guess that speaks to the quality of education.
Where I thought you were going, I'm going to say slightly an insulting comment, and I apologize, Ashley. Where I thought you were going is that one of us graduated from the UCB comedy program, and one of us is good at improv.
Oh, I have said that several times. That's not insulting. Jason is a good improviser. I am not. Give me a script any single day.
And I mean no offense
that. No.
So settle, listeners. Ashley is lovely, and she has better talents.
Improvising is not one of them.
And improvising not one of them, but she does a really good job. She does a really good job keeping up with my craziness. You know what? I apply. No, you're good at improvising.
I'm not. It's okay.
I don't want listeners. Ashley is good. She's really funny. She's great. I mean that with no. Yeah. No.
You can keep complimenting
my Doctor Strange. My Doctor Strange had no idea where to go once you were like, you throw it out the door. And I was like, well, I guess the game is over. All right.
You're welcome.
That's how you get into a little bit of improv theory, people, here. Did you know this is going to be turned into an improv theory podcast? Well, it is.
Roger Langridge has a book called Fred the Clown.
What is this podcast? Thank you so much for listening, listeners. I hope you realize that your support helps support this.
This is your fault.
Thanks to the Peter Tecumseh Foundation for furthering our adventures.
Maybe he should come to one of our
Peter Tecumseh
episodes.
Peter Tecumseh?
Do you think he's the star of These Are the Days of Our Asgard?
We can only hope. Yes, he is!
Or the showrunner.
Peter Tecumseh! He's the star and showrunner.
I have to say, we do have a lot of requests to do an episode of that on the podcast. And I do have people already offering their voice talents if we do.
Oh, boy.
So we'll see.
These are the days of our Asgard.
These are the days of our Asgard.
Would you make a note about that so we actually remember it? Because we will not remember it once we stop recording. You're going to hear all this live business on the air, everybody. Hope you love this. This is what you come for the extra for, right?
To hear how we make this podcast?
You should write that down because otherwise we will not write it down.
Writing this down.
But I still will tell you that we know for certain that there are three fake names. Peter, I don't know why you went to Peter Tecumseh. You need to change the first name. You're like, Peter Tecumseh. Peter Tecumseh, Jeremy Skinner, Jason Emin, all fake names. They're all lizard people. All of them.
I'll say this here. I didn't want to say this. I cannot believe you evoked lizard people.
Why? They're very real.
David Icke. Somewhere his, you know, the messages that he receives on his teeth is buzzing.
We all know lizard people are real.
I'm not waiting into that one.
They're very real, Ashley. Because I watch Godzilla movies. Those are lizard people.
No, he's just a lizard that we dropped atomic waste on.
Yeah, but he lives
in a cave underneath Japan.
He walks like a person.
He also dies at the end of the first movie.
He dies at every
There's
movie.
Been, like Valkyrie, three or four different Godzillas. One of them was a lady.
Hey, Doctor Strange doesn't just serve his own, only his universe. He moves around. through dimensions in the multiverse. He went through a multiverse of madness that only had three dimensions in it.
One with pizza and one with paint.
Yep. One pizza. And that's it. I don't know where we're going. Let's end this podcast. Thank you so much for your support, everybody. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Definitely a fake person. Definitely a lizard person. Ooh. I'm 100% confirming it right here. I'm a lizard person. I'm saying it right now. Here's your evidence.
Oh, boy.
I'm a lizard person.
You're going to wind up on, like, you know the people who are so conspiracy theory they can't be on YouTube, so they're on, like, VTube and stuff like that? You're going to be in someone's video where they're going to prove that you're a lizard person.
Oh, good. I hope they use it. That means they're a patron. If they're a patron, they can use this clip however they want. I'm a lizard person. Jason Inman is not a real person. I'm a lizard person. Here it is right now. Confirmed.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that why your eyes are like that?
Of course. 100%.
Morphing in front of me right now?
Have you not noticed how I chameleoned into the chair as we were recording?
I noticed how you chameleon into Doctor Strange each and every episode.
I guess. Not well. Not well. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this weird episode. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye, lizard people.